are, let's have a prayer of the service. Bill Ray, would you ask a blessing on this service?
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day, Lord. Thank you for all the blessings you bestow upon us, Lord, each and every week, Lord. We take for granted the roof over our heads and clothes on our backs, Lord. We can't thank you enough, Lord. Thank you for this little church, Lord. Thank you for the friends and people there, Lord. Lord, be with the service tonight, Lord. Bless everyone here, Lord. We give you praise, Lord, for everything.
Amen. You want to have a song or anything on your heart? An offering? No, not tonight. Nobody here, Lord. Anyone want to have a song that they'd like to share with us? Anything of that nature? Anyone have any money they want to donate?
And then, of course, I lost my daddy and my mother, and lost all of my mother together. But Lord gave me the strength to survive those. And I just had a kind of fever surgery here, and I'm doing well with that. And I do thank the Lord for this little church. I don't think I learned anything, but I came to this little church, and I thank God for it and for all these wonderful brothers and sisters.
You know, I can't imagine life without this church and you people. I just can't.
far from Alpharetta, she's my cousin. And, and she said, well, I go, she walked to church.
Yeah.
Well, she walked one direction, and I walked the other direction. And we walked to Buffalo Grove Church, which was about 3 miles from my house. But I don't recall being in church a lot when I was in my young, but I remember walking some, but I don't. With, as one lady told me when I got to church, that I'll never forget, you walking all the way to Buffalo Grove Church with your shoes on the wrong feet. Lace up shoes. But anyway, I did, when I was 13, 14, 15 years old, did attend the church regularly. And during the revival at that church, when I was 14, I was saved. And the Lord came into my life. And that is the desire I've always, from then on, I've always had to live for the Lord and to do what is just right. Of course, we all have failed, and I have been many times. But at the time, I was taking a Bible course in high school, public high school, when I was a sophomore. And I remember learning so much from that teacher, Ms. Harris, in the Bible course at the high school. And then that, too, had an influence on me as I was learning the studies in the Bible and then during that revival at the church. And then I was, God bless me, by bringing into my life a minister, pastor, and we were married for 16 years. And then he, I found him dead in bed. And now I know from sleep apnea. And but we had been married for 16 years, and he'd been pastoring for that long. He was pastoring the church at the time. And we had, at the time, we had adopted two daughters. And at the time of his death, one was 5 and one was 7. And we had a natural born son, and he was 12 at the time. But the thing that I had to lean on completely was the Lord. We were living in a parsonage at the time, and in everything that I had, the church, the house, the job, that everything was taken, but the Lord really did supply my needs, and I have never, since that time, needed anything that He didn't supply for me. And so, everyone in the
know your name?
Yes.
Do you know your birthday?
Yes.
22nd December. Do you know the birthday of my husband?
Your husband?
Yes.
28 December. And the doctor tells you, so, but I don't want. He is okay. He can't. Usually after that brain operation like that, they get stroke or they cannot function normally. But that is miracle. God make her normal and everything fine. And then so the following day, he was with me. All the nurses, the doctors from the whole department came to see me because they want to see me. They said, you know, if not her life, that type of operation is rarely you survive. But you survive. So everybody wants to see you and congratulate you. And I said, praise the Lord. I am thankful very much. Give me a second. God give me a second chance. And I think maybe God still has something to me, I don't know, but I ask you to pray for me that I will be faithful,
right.
And also for my husband, I ask you to pray as his brother in Christ. He came from Catholic, and he always said when he come here, he always said, it's different from Catholic. I don't feel very comfortable. He just always said, I just want to let him know. I don't need to tell about whatever, but I just need the prayer and to lift up me and him that he will can accept, you know, a personal relationship like that. Because it's a thing. But I said, please, what relief, but that's the bottom line, right? Okay, I tried. So I tell you the truth, he is still struggling. Joe is still struggling to accept here, yes, okay? But I ask you to pray for me and my husband. Thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you.
We will. We'll pray for you. Just live in front of Joe, and he'll eventually, the Holy Spirit will work with you. You do what you need to do, and the Spirit, Holy Spirit will work with you. Just plant seed in of what's in your life. The more you're around Christian people and that type of thing, the stronger you become. So, you know, we've all had, most of us have had surgeries that probably shouldn't have made it through alive, but for some reason God has spared us and put us in this position in life. We're just thankful for this time. Anyone else have a testimony or anything they'd like to share with the church?
I'd just like to thank the Lord for his goodness to me.
Yep.
I was brought up, they were six of us girls, and mom and dad, we were poor people, but we were happy, we didn't know we were poor. But I went to Dublin Church, and in school, you know, they had their Bible, and then you went over to the church. And one day, someone said, well, let's go down to the altar. And so I said, yeah. And went down to the altar, and I didn't ask the Lord to say, I didn't know anything happened. And then later on in years, I went to J. Ross Smith's tent. I don't know if any of you have ever heard him or not. But he preached, and the Lord touched my heart, and I went down and knelt in the sawdust and asked God to save me. And this lady came by, she said, Have you asked God to save you? And I said, yes. And she said, well, you're saved. And if she had took the Bible right then and explained to me, but she didn't, but I can't blame her. But anyway, I have trusted the Lord as my Savior, and all I know to do is trust His Word. That's the best thing in my life, that He's more to me than anything in my life is the Word of God. And the Lord has blessed us. He's given us a good life. Almost 62 years with your husband, he's the God in the name. I have two children that I thank the Lord for, grandchildren and great-grandchildren. And the Lord has been good to me. He healed me of cancer back in 1993. I had
scammer like me, I don't know, but he did. And I'm just, now I'm getting to the place of work. I study the Bible and meditate on it and come to church and be around Christian people. It seems like the more ammo I got to fight off the world out there, it just gives me more things to do. And I had to do the same thing. So when I accepted the Lord, my whole clientele of friends left me that I grew up with and everything. They just left me because they were doing things in the world that I didn't approve of anymore, so I didn't do that. And the Lord changes you inside. And that's a great thing. But when something really bad happens, they'll come to you. You know, so, you know, it's just, and sometimes he has to take you way down low. He did me. I was a slow learner. He had to take me way down low before he'd bring me back up. It makes you stronger. And I've known a lot of really good moral people that never were Christians. They were really good moral people. And that won't get you anywhere. You've got to accept the Lord as your Savior. Best of that and get to that, then you know, then that's when you really got it. That's a good thing.
I was saying when I was 14 or 15, at home, I'd been going to church pretty regularly, and the last few years ago, it was I guess, you know, really it was. That was my excuse for not going many times anyway. And I was saved at home, but then I know they'd go up front. Announced it, which actually preacher once announced it, not in my head, and was baptized at Turkey Lake, and of course that was just ticket to heaven, what I would do. And I did cry out to the Lord, and I was saved, but I didn't live like I should for a lot of years. So, in and out of church, a lot of those years I was drinking. I was, to say a bad example is an example, and I was an example. That's a bad example. I'm a good Christian. And I thank God people pray for me. Thank God. You know, I didn't earn this. Didn't do anything with my salvation, just simply ask. It's amazing. It's just too simple. Salvation is just unbelievable how great it is. Just have to accept Jesus. The sanctification can come later. It should come immediately. Somebody said, you should have a good mentor with you. You know, when you get saved, somebody should sit down with you after you start growing immediately and be sanctified. I failed that step. I'm trying to get in that step now. You know, I try to breathe daily and or at least listen daily. I have it on DVD. Don't trust here for reading, but obviously, kind of, there's so much to learn, you know, in the Bible. So much to absorb about it, you know, it's hard. You can't just read it once and then you've got it. So after that, anyway, thank God that my prayer for me. And, you know, that's a strong. That's a hard thing to get rid of, is that drinking problem or drug
me and Molly and our three brothers. And I got angry. I got really angry. I got angry enough that I couldn't control it. And I took the letter to General Ritchie from the Baptist Church in White Pine. And I threw it at his desk and I said, read this and you tell me I'm going to forgive you. And he read it and he looked at me right in the face. He said, you've got to. I said, I won't do it. And I told Paul, I won't do it. And he said, until you do it, you will always have a burden on your side. But accidentally, I ran into him at his mother's while I was there one time. And he came out of the, I didn't know what to say, he came out of the bedroom and I had to say, I forgive you. And that was the hardest thing I have ever found to do in my life, is forgive that person the way he did to my daughter and myself. But when I did, there was just like a new world. That to me was a hard thing. That was one of my hardest things to do in my Christian life, was forgiving somebody who really, really hurt you. Not me, but just because the kids. Do whatever you want to me, but leave the kids alone. But it made me a better person.
Forgiveness gives you a lot of joy that you didn't figure out. If you just let go of something, forgive someone, jealousy, whatever, there's a lot of joy in your life that you'll get from it. You have to let go of that. It'll give you a lot of joy. Well, Charles is missed. Unless you want to tell us your testimony.
All right, I'd like to hear it. I'm not being all this bad. I'm not being as bad as someone's been.
Well, maybe we'll put a star around.
What I'm going to try to say is, it's not what you have done in the past. Exactly. It's what you are doing now.
Man.
And the Bible says that when you are saved, from that moment back, whatever has happened is over.
Amen.
And there's no use of bringing it back up because you can't relive it. It's done gone.
Right.
So what I'm saying is I was sprinkled and then I was baptized. So I'm floating along with some of you.
You put a star on you.
But now I never did live like I supposed to. I was saved supposedly, now let me say that, supposedly. But I think what it was, because some of my friends were up in the revival and we all went up there to show off. But God took care of me, and I've been in a lot of different situations. But I'm standing here to tell you that what I did up till 58 didn't mean a thing to nobody. I got married in 58. And that turned everything around. So when I got pregnant, well, it hit me. And I have tried my best to do what God had me do. But I had failed a few times, a lot of times. But he didn't give up on me. But I'm just saying, if we do what God has asked us to do, that is what the question is. If, that word if, and it was in a Sunday school lesson this morning, if you do this, if you do that, if you listen to what God tells you and what happens, He was going to be there. But I have, I've been to Europe, spent a lot of time over there, saw a lot of men's life that was in bad need of Christ, but you couldn't talk to them because they didn't. There wasn't enough so much alcohol in the body, they couldn't back straight. You'd have to leave and get in the field. But I got back, and I have never seen your life anymore than I have since I got married on Friday night. We went to church on Sunday morning. We've been given to God ever since. And I come to this church here. And it was 25 years, yes, I think. I've been there. But I'm like Brenda said, you can feel the Lord here.
Man.
So we were going to some of that, but I told our witness and me to come here because we couldn't do much, but we could help a little. So I'm glad that we stayed, I'm glad that we joined this church. And whoever the pastor might be in the future or whoever, whatever, all we need to do is stay concentrated on what God wants us to do. Not only the past. And what I did when I was 35 or 25 and below, I don't think about that. All I think about is, and as our Ruth told me that her daughter, granddaughter, lay down in the hospital, and I thought all the time that she'd be all right. Doing great. Got two angels. They're all very great. Christian. And what else can you ask? And what else can you brag about? But brag that you are a Christian and you love the Lord and He will see you through it when He heals you. If it waters up through your neck,